Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Praise God, we're continuing on in a message I've entitled Coping with Stress, which is very much a part of our day-to-day lives. But beloved, we have victory in Jesus. There is a way of effectively dealing with the problems, the frustrations, the issues that come our way. Oh, I know the natural way is to respond with moaning and groaning and self-pity and anger and all manner of things that are a part of the natural man, but God wants His children to grow up. And beloved, life is so much easier when you do things God's way. And I'm speaking from experience because I used to do all those former things, and I'm not saying I would be immune from it now, but I am learning, I'm applying my heart very diligently day by day to walk in obedience to the commands of the Lord. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so it's a matter of discipline. It's a matter of choice. We can be like 2 and 3 year olds who want our own way and, you know, throw a tantrum and fall down on the floor and kick our feet. Or we can say, "Lord, this is a problem, but I trust you, Lord, that you're going to be with me and you're going to help me work this out. You're going to show me a way to see this problem resolved. I lean on your wisdom. I lean on your guidance. I'm going to praise you through this, and I know that you are going to work this out for my good. I can't see it, Lord. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I trust you because you're a good God." And in doing so, as if you've heard the prior broadcast, you'll be doing as Job. He was a perfect and upright man, none like him in all the earth. And no matter what he faced, he said, "Yea, though God slay me, if he take my life, yet I will trust him." And that's the bottom line lesson that the Word of God teaches us, beloved. It's that you can find that same principle outlined in the New Testament. So don't say, "Oh, that's Old Testament." No, beloved, we cannot throw out the Old Testament. And anyone who tells you you can, just beware, because Jesus came to fulfill the law. He did not do away with it. It is not God's intention to wipe out the Old Testament. It shows God's dealings with man from man's creation until his final estate, which is being forever with him, those who choose God and his ways in the new heaven and in the new earth. So you better take the whole Word of God and understand that it is the counsel, wisdom, mind, plan, and purposes of the living God, our sovereign Lord who is almighty, who lives in the heavens, who reigns supreme. All nations are before him as a drop in the bucket. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord has been his counselor? Beloved, there's no one that can fit that position. And so, beloved, just know that our God is a holy God. He's a consuming God, and we better walk in the fear of the Lord. We better understand that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But those who trust in His loving kindness, in His mercy, who turn from their wicked ways, who desire to walk in all pleasing before the Lord, even to them He extends His mercy, His kindness, His love. And we can rejoice as a child does before its father, knowing that He only desires good for us. He only desires blessing. He is a God of amazing love, incredible patience. Oh, the husbandman has long patience for the precious fruit of the earth. Those are the souls of men. But he is a God of wrath and of judgment. And those who harden their hearts and stiffen their necks, if they continue in that pathway, they will one day face the wrath of God. It's not His will that any perish perish, but that all come into a saving knowledge, into a relationship with Jesus Christ. He only is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father, Jesus said, but through him. He is the living life, the living Word of God made flesh, dwelling among us, dwelling in our hearts for all who have received him. But he's coming back one day, beloved. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming with vengeance to allow his wrath and his just judgments to be upon those who have destroyed the earth, who wickedly oppose everything and exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. He will deal with them. And so, beloved, we need to walk in the fear of the Lord. Yes, he is a loving God, but he is a God that is so holy that his eyes cannot behold impurity and wickedness. And so, beloved, it behooves us as God's holy people to walk in holiness, because he said, I am holy, be ye therefore holy as I am holy. Let me now return to the message, and let's look what the Lord has to say to us in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And I'd like to begin by reading verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, our Father, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, to those who are trained, willingly submitting to the training of the Lord. And beloved, if you harden your heart against God because of the trials and the battles, you're only going to lose out on the victory God has for you. Romans 8:28 states, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, you may not see how there could be any possible good coming out of the things that have come against you, but what are you going to do? Are you going to trust God? Are you going to in faith say, even as Job said, I know, yea, though he slay me, I will trust him? Do you know that God, will you trust him, that he's going to work those terrible things that have happened, those things you've gone through, you've experienced, that he's going to work them for good? Because why? You can't figure it out, but his ways are higher than your ways, his thoughts than your thoughts. This is where faith comes in. And also, beloved, a lot of people try to avoid their problems rather than face up to the problems. Some, in seeking to avoid and get out of the pain they're in, they avoid those stressful situations through things that will just, you know, numb them out, alcohol, drugs. Others use those problems to act immorally, unethically. But those things, beloved, those aren't answers. They only lead to further problems and to stronger bondage. What do we need to do? All of us, we need to go to God and seek his face until we are filled with his strength. He knows our flesh is weak, but our spirit is willing. He will fill us with the godly determination that we need, that none of the things that you may be facing right now are going to defeat you. Instead of dropping out in face of the problems, the stress-filled situations, we need to recognize the problem, face it squarely, and then do the most nonsensical thing according to a carnal man, and that is to praise God by rejoicing. And trust me, when you're in the molly grubs of depression and despair, that's the last thing your flesh wants to do. One writer wrote, "No Christian has ever developed to maturity in his walk with God without pressing through stress situations." People use terms such as stamina, courage, fortitude, and determination when they continue to press on when everything in them is shouting, "Turn back." The Apostle Paul uses a different word. He uses rejoicing. And if anyone knew as much about persecution, trials, stress-filled situation as any man alive, he did. Yet he did not question God. He didn't murmur against God. He didn't tell God, "If you love me, you wouldn't let this happen to me." Instead, in those immortal words that he penned in all of those beautiful epistles, he rejoiced. What is more beautiful than that epistle he wrote to the Philippians, or to the faith that he had in those last two epistles to his beloved son Timothy in that terrible, wretched Mamertine prison over the River Tiber, where it was so cold and so terrible, and he was facing death. He knew that. Contrary to a lot of Christians who respond in anger and bitterness to God because of their circumstances, Paul rejoiced. He rejoiced while sitting in prison in Philippi. He wrote to the Colossians in that first chapter, verse 24, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake." And beloved, rejoicing is an attitude of the heart and mind. We do that, we rejoice in our battles, not because we got a martyr complex. We rejoice because of our faith in God and on our trusting in Him that He's going to work out His good purposes in our lives. Praise God. Well, my time has just flown in these broadcasts. We'll have to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to join me at the same time. If at any time you miss a broadcast or want to re-listen or hear it, just go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and you can listen anytime at your convenience. They're archived there for you. We love you. We pray for you every day. I thank you for your prayer support. I do invite you to write where you can share your needs and know that this is a personal ministry. Yes, every letter that comes in, I read and I personally answer. I thank you for joining me. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.